This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgaters Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Now, here's Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. I can't believe that I'm here just a little bit after 6 a.m. in the KYKN studios doing a pregame show for the Ducks. I think that actually happened once before this season, didn't it? That was the Northwestern game. And I hate these early wake-up calls. I sound like I feel pretty awake, though.
Yeah. Have you been to sleep?
You know, I did go to bed. I mean, 9 o'clock. I mean, that's it's pretty early.
Watch the ball drop in New York and go to bed.
That's done. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. I'm too old to stay up then. And, you know, I guess there were a few fireworks that I kind of, you know, woke up to. Right. But, you know, I fell right back to sleep. But, yeah, that's a 4:30 wake-up call. Cruise all the way in here to Kaiser, and my gosh, this is weird, especially for the Orange Bowl, because the Orange Bowl typically plays at like 5:30, 6 o'clock on New Year's Day, and now it's just, they're just destroying all the bowl games. Everything's twisted around, and I heard Dan Lanning come out yesterday and said that he wants everything to be done by January 1st. I mean, the national championship game should be on January 1st today. And you shouldn't have any breaks. You shouldn't have anything before, you know, just right after you have, whether there's a conference championship or not, moving forward.
You look at last year's games. Everybody that had the bye lost. So, you know, Dan Lanning, let's play these games. Let's get them over with. I can't stand the excuses, don't come out rusty today, because that's, I was so confident about this 2 weeks ago. And now we've had all this time to think about it. And now I'm like, man, maybe, I don't know. Ooh, this defense, I don't know.
That's why they play the games. Yeah, it's, there has been a lot of banter going on. Texas Tech, I mean, their fans are raucous. I mean, they're from, you know, what is it? It's the west side of Texas. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot going on over there. They're pretty cocky.
Yeah, they for sure are. They think their defense is the best thing since sliced bread, and Oregon's not going to be able to do anything. And my only thought is, well, what offense has Texas Tech really played that's good? That's a top 10, top 15 offense like Oregon.
Well, no, I mean, there's nothing. Their top offense they faced was Utah at number 50.
Right.
And so that's all. I mean, BYU's not even that great.
No.
And I actually saw some replays of the Texas Tech BYU game. BYU they don't really have a lot of speed. Nope. They don't really mix things up a little bit offensively at all. I mean, you can predict. I mean, my gosh, Texas Tech had like 9 guys not in the box, but I mean, whether they're in the linebacking crew or they're on the defensive line, you're going to stop everybody at that point. If you don't have any guys out in the flats that you're throwing it to, what I did see is perfect placement for any one of our two tight ends, Sadiq or Johnson. They could be out in the flat anywhere, and there's like 10 yards where you can get that every single time. So really, the Ducks today, I think they need to spread out that Texas Tech defense. And when you do that, I think that's going to open up a big running game.
A lot of the holes seem to be right down the middle, just right up the seams, and just like, we should be able to capitalize on that. And tight ends is probably going to be one of the keys to the game, especially in the passing game. I go back and forth on this. If you look at our offense versus their defense, that's kind of the game there. I feel like our defense is better than their offense, but their defense, you know, on paper and from what everybody's talking about, if you believe all the stuff that the talking heads are talking about, they could give us some trouble. And the concern that I have is, They remind me of Indiana's defense a little bit, and we didn't react very well to that. Dante Moore got sacked 5 times in that game, and, you know, that's one of my keys to the game. We'll go there later or something, but I tell you what, we cannot allow them to be living on Dante Moore's back.
Yeah, David Bailey, who's their one of their star edge rushers, great player. I mean, he's a NIL, came over, transfer last year. Jacob Rodriguez is a heck of a linebacker. So, I mean, those are, I think, the two big guys that Oregon needs to worry about. So Isaiah World's going to have his hands full. He needs to make sure he holds that line and keeps Bailey out of the backfield.
Bailey's got 13.5 sacks on the air. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I'm just curious what games those sacks mostly came from? I mean, were they the first three games of the season? I mean, did he have six right out of the gate? So I think there's a lot of things that are skewed there. You have to look at everything, but they're touting this defense up like it is better than sliced bread. Yeah. So we're going to see.
Well, the best defense money can buy, according to all of the talking heads, because they went deep with NIL and built a solid defense there. I didn't know a lot about any of these guys. Of course, a lot of times the guys in the transfer portal come from smaller schools that are just lighting it up, and then they come in and light it up on the big stage because they're that good. That's why we played these games.
That's right. Hey, let's go back to that James Madison game, because the Ducks really lit it up. You know, the defense did allow quite a few yards, especially on those first drives. Did they score? No, they scored field goals. Yep. So, I mean, realistically, it's almost back to the Eliotti bent but don't break defense. I think that's really where we are right now. And I think that bodes well, especially in this game. And I think that's the way it's been all season long with this group.
Yeah, their red zone defense, Oregon's red zone defense, has not been great all year. I think they're 115th out of 118 teams as far as giving up touchdowns or allowing scores in the red zone. So, yeah, that doesn't bode well. So if they can just limit them to field goals, I think that's a lot better than, you know, always letting them score.
You know, we were up, what, 48-13 going in the fourth quarter, I believe. And then, you know, we put in the second and third string teams. I think Lanning, you know, everybody's saying he was really ticked. And I think that he was, because, I mean, those are your next guys in. So, I mean, if you're not doing that, if you can't do the job against James Madison, who they were throwing everything. I mean, they actually have a very good offense, but they just couldn't put it together, which I think makes the Duck defense look really, really good, all things considered.
And they lived on those trick plays. They lived on all of that deception. There was guys going every which way. You remember that first quarter, I think the announcer was saying that they haven't lined up in the same formation yet. You know, and they did that throughout the entire game. So there was deceptive plays was kind of the name of their game. They had so many guys going all different directions. I really wasn't too bothered by the yards that we gave up. It's when they started punching in the scores that it bothered me. And that's where, you know, Lanning, you live to a standard. You know, he expects his players to play to that standard. They didn't play to that standard. They did have like one main guy in there, like Thieneman was in there late, but that was to set the defense and get people in the right places and stuff like that. They had a lot of numbers that I hadn't seen in a while out there playing. So the yards don't bother me nearly as much. You know, if you game plan to allow some team up, bend, don't break, hate that. Aliotti, yes. As soon as you said that, that's the first thing I thought about. Aliotti, bend, don't break. But when they do that, there's usually something happening there. But to your point, with the red zone, you know, you let them in between the 20s, you let them go ahead and move the ball there, but then you tighten up and don't allow it in the red zone. But our red zone efficiency has not been spectacular this year.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's what Lanning was talking about with setting the standard of we can let them down into the 20s, but we're going to hold them to a field goal. We're not going to let them punch in touchdowns. And that's what happened at the end of that game. And, you know, being in the stands and everybody, the game was won. I mean, Oregon, scored 51 points. And so there was never any concern that they were going to lose that game. And it seemed like they were putting those younger guys in to let them get some experience. And they just weren't living up to that standard of keeping them out of the end zone.
You know, the big thing that JMU was touted on was having a great defense. Were they top five defense, top six defense, whatever it was. That didn't prove to be a problem. I mean, Dante Moore lit those guys up in the first half. What did we have, 34 first half points?
Yeah, it was 34.
They had that for the game or whatever. So this game was never in doubt, like you said. But their defense was nowhere near. And that makes me question our game today is how will that defense, will they hold up? They're playing those Big 12 teams all year long. Is that going to match up well with us? I mean, what was it? Something to the effect of they're playing the 102nd. The offenses that they play were ranked 102nd in the country. So probably pretty easy to shut down the 102nd ranked offenses in the country. What are you going to do against the Ducks, who are a top 10 offense?
You know, sorry, Brandon. I think I've got one concern. And that concern
only
is,
one?
I just have one, and it was in the fourth quarter. Dante Moore still in the ball game for whatever reason. But you know what? When he gets pressure, he makes mistakes. And that one interception that he just threw to the corner for God knows why. Why would you do that? Throw the ball away.
Away.
It doesn't even matter. You can kick another field goal, get to 54, whatever. But that really concerned me. He gets somebody in his face, and he doesn't think properly.
I love it. Absolutely. He had two picks in that game. The first pick bounced off a guy that was falling down. Big deal. That wasn't his fault. That one, I totally agree. And you put pressure on him, all of a sudden things get wicked. I think we need to stay on schedule in this game. You know, run the ball, get chunks 4 or 5 yards at a time and have third and short. Another key to the game, in my opinion, is those third downs. Because you get him in third and long, and those guys are Bailey, 13 and a half sacks in the year, is just pinning his ears back and coming after you. Yeah. Dante Moore, to your point, has not been spectacular in those situations. He has been better on the road. And I consider this a road game here. But you know, you don't want him getting rattled out there. You want him comfortable all game long. And I'm hoping to see a lot of hot routes where there's a guy available if he's got guys coming to his face. It's what we didn't have against Indiana. You know, screen passes, something that keeps those guys on their heels. Let them overplay us, get in our backfield, run right past us as we're going the other direction. I you don't want to live and die on all of that, but you've got to have that in the mix, you know, and guess right in those situations.
Yeah, well, just going back and looking at some of the common opponents that both Oregon and Texas Tech played. First one would be Oregon State. Ducks took care of business, 41-7. Looks like Texas Tech. That was a home game for Texas Tech. They were 45-14. And then the other one that was common was Oklahoma State. They beat them 42-0, and we know Oregon 69-3 thrashing. Got Gundy fired after that game, so...
That's interesting. You know, the Ducks the two coaches got fired because after a Duck game. Yeah. I mean, it took a couple of more weeks, but right. You know, it seems like the Ducks, you know, they are the juggernaut right now. And if you do, is there three, Jerry?
Penn State, right?
Yeah, Penn State
and Oklahoma State and Oregon State.
Trent Bray.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
I forgot. That seems like a long time ago now.
No kidding.
And it kind of was. But yeah, so sorry to interrupt you, Brandon. You're gonna
No. You just go back to those, because that's what we're talking about, right? Big 12 versus Big 10, mm-hmm. And we don't know what the competition level is in the Big 12. I mean, you got BYU, who we just talked about, doesn't have the greatest offense. The defense isn't that great, and then you got Arizona State, Arizona. You know, all those teams came from the Pac-12, but when they came from the Pac-12, they weren't the greatest. I know last year Arizona State ended up in the playoffs with Sam Leavitt as their quarterback and Scatabo. Scatabo, I think, is the reason they ended up in the playoffs, 100%.
Yeah.
And then they had a little bit of a drop-off this year, so not the best competition, whereas Oregon's playing Iowa and Penn State and, you know, USC, Washington. Those are all decent schools. USC's got a decent offense, not so great defense. But Washington had a pretty good defense, I thought, this year. And,
very good.
So did the offense was okay. And Iowa, you know, great defense. And Oregon went in there and played in the rain game at Kinnick and came away with the win. It wasn't a big win, but it was a win.
You know, what's interesting about that is other teams' game plans against us most of this year has been trying to stop that run. Right. Washington loaded the box. I mean, they had guys, you know, seven guys in the box and, you know, left Dante to pick them apart in the secondary, you know. So,
You brought up Indiana. I liked that game plan that they had against Indiana defense in the first half because Davison was gashing them for six, 7 yards at a time. And then the second half came out, and it's like they went away from that run. They started to do the passing, and it just wasn't there, and they were trying to force it. And that's my only criticism with Stein is when it's not working, he continues to try to force it and just go back to what was working because it was working just fine.
You know, that sounds like what Chip Kelly used to do back in the day. I mean, he's going to just beat it down there until he thinks he's going to win.
Right.
And most of the time, he didn't win. And I've seen other bowl games, you know, where teams are doing the exact same thing.
I remember one game where he ran the same exact running play with LaMichael James 3 straight times, and it went for like 10 yards every time. And then LaMichael needed a break. He just needed a rest, you know. But he did that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
do those little short
go
out routes, yeah. Yep, for sure.
Well, hey, guys, we're going to have to get out to our first break. Happy New Year, everybody. And I can't believe it's 2026 already. Time just keeps flying, I guess because we're getting older. But that goes without saying. So Tailgater Show right here. Ducks taking on the Texas Tech Red Raiders right here on 1430 KYKN.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Now back to Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
And welcome back to this New Year's edition of the Tailgater Show. I don't know. Kennedy put me in a good mood right there. I don't know. I love Dale Kennedy. If you've got tax problems, he's definitely the one to call. What do you? What did you say he has?
The Velvet Lips of Justice.
Yes, he does. And he is the man. Dale Kennedy is the man.
I love that saying.
It's so great. Oh, my gosh. Ducks taking on the Red Raiders. Texas Tech. What are the Ducks ranked? They're number 5. Texas Tech is number 4. And I think this is probably one of the best matchups that we could possibly see today. I think, but, you know, I guess the games still have to be played. But this is the one that everybody's talking about. So Texas Tech, you know, we talked about that in the first segment. Supposedly, they've got the defense that's been purchased. And we'll see what happens. I'm excited about this game. I want to see what the Ducks can do. But before we get into more of that, I mean, we talked about it at the break a little bit, just about transfer portal, coaches going away. Where do we think people are going to land? Is Dante Moore going to be coming back, or is he going to be going to the NFL?
You know, I think this falls right into what Dan Lanning was talking about with playing the one game after another, play them at home fields, you know, go ahead and let the team that won out all year, you know, let them host that game. The stands are full. You can get the ticket prices that you want. Some of these games, you know, they're not filling up the Orange Bowl here, and ticket prices have dropped all the way down to $37, for goodness sakes. But Dante Moore. So we kind of talked about this at the break. I think we all think he's staying. Mm-hmm. And I think the real reason, when you look at like Bo Nix, from his first year with the Ducks to his second year with the Ducks, he had command in that second year. I mean, even in the spring game of his first year, I was like, boy, that guy doesn't look very good. You know, it was a little weird. But his second year, he had complete and total command. He had like 4 interceptions the entire year, right? Dylan Gabriel comes in, started off a little shaky, but again, throughout that year, total command. And then his accuracy, I think he had like 4 interceptions for the entire year. I think Dante Moore is going to come back. I think he's going to master this offense, master some of that timing stuff, get rid of some of those jittery feet, and have 4 less interceptions on the year. I think he's going to make better decisions, you know, get another year under his belt, you know, another year. And well, I think this the next offense with Drew Maringer at the helm is going to be very similar. You know, about that. Gosh, I'm all over the place this morning. It's too damn early.
You keep talking to yourself, you know, and things come up.
I don't know if we talked about this or there's another group of guys, but you know, we were talking about the guys leaving and who we wanted to come in. And I was kind of hoping, I leaned towards Dan Lanning going out and finding the next young stud to come in and the next new innovative guy, the next Will Stein to come in and be that guy, you know. And the more I thought about it, you know, with the 2 promotions that he did, Drew on the on the offense, mm-hmm. and then Hampton for the defense, he brought these guys in. Well, Drew's been there a little bit longer, but brought Hampton in a couple of years ago, you know, to replace and backfill and stuff. But he was a co-defensive coordinator elsewhere before he came to us. So he brought in some of that very young talent, and they've obviously, you know, shown that they're gained his respect, gained his trust to do this. Plus, you bring those guys, you promote those guys on the interior, and these guys have been working on transfer portal guys. They've been out there recruiting guys. So this allows that whole, you know, what were we, top 4 recruiting class, whatever it ended up in the long run, but that recruiting class to stay together, to keep it together without any bleed off on that. And now they'll go out and hire to backfill behind those guys and have an entire another, you know, group of young talent that can come and, you know, push those guys up through the top again.
Yeah. Well, going back to Dante Moore, so you brought up Nix and Gabriel, 2 of the longest tenured college quarterbacks that there have ever been. And you go look at the NFL stuff, and, you know, a lot of the NFL GM managers want to see at least 30 starts. Dante Moore doesn't have 30 starts yet. He's been in college for 3 years, but he, you know what, he started 6 games at UCLA, sat out last year, and he started every game this year. So he doesn't have quite the amount of experience. And you go back to the old days, you know, where these guys would get a high draft grade and be like, oh, I got to go get that money. You know, it's there. I could get injured. Now with the advent of NIL, you can pay these guys a lot of money per year, you know, $3, $5, $6, $7 million to stay. It's a big chunk of your NIL budget, but the quarterback is arguably the most important position on the field. So does Dante stay for one more year, get the required starts, get the experience, and he would still get drafted high next year? Or does he go out and chase after the money? I think he stays because in the NFL, it's not your first contract where you're going to get paid. It's the second contract where you're going to go get paid. You get drafted to a crappy team like the Raiders or the Jets or somewhere like that. Yeah, exactly. And you don't get developed. And you just kind of, you know, we've seen it in Cleveland. They draft quarterbacks all the time, and they just die there, basically. You know, what have they had, like 57 some starting quarterbacks over the last 20 years? So I think for Dante, he's weighing those, you know, I have no insider knowledge, but I think he's got to look at the trends and say, well, look, I could stay another year. I'm getting paid while I'm here. It's not a money grab, whereas, you know, if you were going to go and do the high draft pick, yeah, you're going to get a money grab.
You know, I think that Dante really needs to make a phone call to Bo Nix. Because Bo, like you said, I mean, he was, how many years? 8 years in college? I mean, I don't even like know. A couple of red shirts? I mean, who knows?
I think we went our freshman year together.
But, you know, his last year, he really excelled.
He did.
I mean, he turned out to be one of the most amazing quarterbacks for the Denver Broncos right now. I mean, they are just rolling.
And you're seeing that. I mean, you know, he had all that experience in college, and he stayed and learned, and that was the knock on him, was he was 24 years old when he got drafted, and that's ancient in the NFL, but he's successful.
So Dante's only 20 years old, and you have to look at Fernando Mendoza, you know, the quarterback for Indiana. I mean, he stayed. He was at Cal, and he just made the transfer over to Indiana, and he's done an amazing job. But I think that you've got to have the talent, and the Ducks are going to have the talent back. I don't think Evan Stewart's going to be playing today or any time if the Ducks keep rolling.
Right.
But I think he's going to wait until next year, and he was actually came out yesterday and said, well, I'm going to weigh out my options just with the NFL. It's just like, what? Right. Dude, you just blew out your knee, man. You got to come out and you've got to prove that you can actually play before they're going to pay you. And by the way, you can still get paid in the portal from the University of Oregon as well, because they are definitely going to want him back. But can you believe the receiving crew that you're going to stinking have at the University of Oregon next year? I think the only concern is going to be your offensive line. I mean, Dan Lanning's going to need to go back to the portal again and get some big hosses.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But in spot duty, Fox Crater, you know, some of these guys that, you know, you hadn't heard a whole heck of a lot about, played very well in spot duty. So I think we're going to be okay there, but I do think that there's going to be a portal take or two on that offensive line.
Well, and you know, the portal, I think, is people say, oh, you got to start developing your own talent. This goes back to quarterback. I would agree that the guys you pay in high school recruiting are the offensive linemen because they've got the measurables, they've got the body type, they know, they just need coaching up, right? So you can portal some guys in while they're younger, guys like Fox Crater and who's the other stud defense or offensive line, Nacho, the guy that's coming in next year. You know, let him sit a year. So you can get those guys. You know, not everybody's a Penei Sewell where they're going to start as a freshman and be great. But quarterback, I think, is the most, what's the right word? Gamble of a position, because you can pay these five stars to come in millions of dollars as true freshmen, and a lot of them don't pan out. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine taking a portal quarterback who has been at another school, has been successful and shown that he's got a good head on his shoulders and is going to commit to being a good, you know, athlete, and pay that guy to come in and play. And yeah, you can develop guys, you know, guys like Akili Smith Jr. and Brock Thomas, and, you know, to a point, Austin Novosad, where I know Brock Thomas has been there all year, but I think if today the game comes down to it and Moore gets injured, Novosad's going in. I think that's...
Isn't he gone?
No, he's with the team today.
Oh, he is?
He is.
He's okay. With the team. He just announced his intentions to go into the portal. Okay.
He has announced his intentions to be in the portal, but he is with the team in Miami today. So I think if Dante Moore goes down with an injury. Novosad's the one coming.
That's interesting because Thomas has been the one that's been coming in for the backup. I mean, he came in, what, for the Wisconsin game and, you know, pretty much
no got games the win that there, were really but, out of touch.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Wisconsin was still kind of in the mix a little bit. That was not a blowout. I mean, so he came in and did a really, really good job.
He did. I'm just saying, if Moore gets injured, I wouldn't be surprised to see Novosad come in.
Okay. Well, on that fine Novosad note, we're going to get out to a break. Tailgater Show right here on 1430 KYK. And again, Happy New Year, everybody. Looking forward to this ball game. It's going to be awesome. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Once again, here's Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
And here we are. Happy New Year, bright and early. Just a little bit after 6:30 a.m. on 1/1/26.
I'm just going to keep my eyes closed so I don't bleed to death, all right?
Oh, man, rain's coming. So if you need some waterproof flooring, color tile down there in the Academy Square across from the Willamette Town Center on Lancaster Drive is the place to go. He's got it on sale. Go see Dave Lee. He's been a sponsor here, gosh, since 1998. So it would be awesome if you, as our fine listening audience, would go and patronize our fine sponsors and who spend some money with us so we can keep this thing rolling. All right, keys to the game. Jerry Harris, you're itching right now. I mean, I don't know. The break was a little bit too long, and here we are.
I know. I forgot it all by now. Hey, number one key to the game, protect the ball. The team that loses the turnover battle is going to lose this game. Texas Tech is plus 17 in turnover margin this year. They're tied for number one in the country with Indiana at plus 17. So they turn the ball over. Rodriguez, their linebacker, that guy is a beast. He's got like 7 forced fumbles on the year, some ridiculous figure like that. So protect the ball. Dan Lanning talked about it in practice all week long. The guys watched the when the interviewers were watching the practice that was available to the public. They said he harped on it the entire time they were able to view it, is protect the ball. Number two is going to be third down conversions. This is all kind of to offset the defense, right? Third down conversions. I think this is so going to be so crucial to this game. And it comes largely with running the ball. If we're able to run the ball and get some chunks in the beginning of the stay on schedule, so to speak, and you have those third and shorts, we're going to be in very good hands. We're third and short. Third and long, we cannot live and die on that. We talked about Dante Moore's propensity to get a little happy feet. And, you know, I mean, he didn't even see some of those guys before he was hit in the Indiana game. So protect the ball. Third down conversion. Third and short, I'd love that. You know, you see what all these other teams have done to us, loading the box, trying to stop the run. And Dante Moore has killed them largely, except for the teams that were able to put pressure on the quarterback. And that is the last key to the game, is protect Dante. Keep him upright. Keep that jersey clean. We're on grass. I don't want to see grass stains all over Dante Moore. If Texas Tech gets 4 more sacks, we're losing this game. So we've got to protect him. And, you know, to protect him, we got to establish the run, you know. And to your point against Indiana, Davison was just chunking them. And then, poof, we stopped running the ball. Let's not stop this time. Let's keep that ball rolling. Keep Dante upright. Those are my keys to the game.
I think on defensive side of the ball, you got to get penetration. You got to make Baron Morton uncomfortable in that backfield. Their offensive line, not a strength of their offense. I think their left guard is, or maybe it's right guard, is a little dinged up. I think we're going to see Bear Alexander and Amari Washington getting some good penetration. And if Tuioti and Mateo can set those edges and limit the plays outside of the box, I think that it's going to be a low scoring game for Texas Tech.
You know, Morton has been injured a lot of the year too. I mean, he missed that Arizona State game, excuse me, and that's their only loss on the season. Yeah. So I think he did actually have a boot on as well, and they had taken it off like this week. So I mean, obviously he's ready to go. I mean, he's going to be, but still, I mean, one little tweak on that leg and you know what? You're bringing in second string guy And yeah. So I think, Brandon, you're absolutely right. We have got to get penetration on him and really just mess that whole backfield up. And they're trying to do the exact same thing to Dante Moore.
Sure.
I really think we need to get at least 5 or 6 yards on first down. And if we can do that, and we need to eliminate the penalties. Because we're always getting the false starts have to go away. The stupid personal fouls that are just a joke. You know, you're going to be jacked up today, okay? But you've got to stay within yourself, because if you don't, it's really going to cause havoc, and you're going to be detrimental to the team effort.
You know, watching some of those early bowl games, some of those bowl games looked like they were trying to break a record for how many penalties they could call on him. And then other ones, they were swallowing the whistle and allowing the teams to, you know, decide the outcome of the game and not penalties. It's been stunning to me. I hope we get the guys that swallow the whistle and allow the game to be played. You know, I hate penalties and not calling them and stuff like this, but my gosh, I think there was 20 some odd penalties called in that Michigan game the other night. It's just like, you can't have a ball game with continuity if you're you know, biting on that whistle the whole time.
Well, I think that we also need to have the penalties or the non-calls for both teams. I mean, because the Ducks on numerous occasions this season have really been fighting their opponent, fighting the referees, and fighting the away crowd. Yeah. I mean, so they've got 3 strikes against them right there, and they've come away with the win. I mean, they're undefeated on the road again.
You know, I love Brandon's point about putting pressure on their quarterback, because that has been a talking point that I have heard during the week, that he isn't very good when he's got a lot of pressure on him. And Mateo has been kind of quiet this year, you know. Is that because they're putting more focus on him, double teaming him, and that's what's allowing Tuioti to come around? So, but I'd love to see Mateo come out and have a real good game today.
Me too.
I like it. Okay, we're going to have to get out to another short break. Tailgater Show right here. Ducks taking on Texas Tech. We'll be back after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Now back to Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
Here we are, Tailgater Show, 1430 KYKN, bright and early on your New Year's morning. Hopefully, maybe you're watching the parade right now while you're listening to us before the Ducks come on at 9 a.m. kickoff at the Orange Bowl in Miami. Cubano territory. I've never been there, actually. Have either of you guys been to Florida?
I've been to Florida, but not to Miami.
I've driven by the stadium, but never been actually in it.
Gotcha.
It's big. I don't care for the way the stands, you know, kind of go out instead of up. It just feels like you're so far away from the field.
This segment being brought to you by Green Acres Landscape, GA at home out there on Gaffin Road off Highway 22. They have as you just heard, a little maintenance program that you can give a ring to. Give them a call, 503-399-8066. Not today. They're not open. But keep it in mind. If you don't want to mess with your sprinklers, they're the ones to call all year long. It's a great program. We talked a little bit about the... What do we talk about? Oh my gosh, it's way
X Factor's
too
early. The game. Factors.
Thank you. Way too early. Give me another cup of coffee. My gosh. X Factors. Jerry, you've got an X Factor.
Well, you know, I was thinking about the fact that we faced an awful lot of quarterbacks that were running quarterbacks, and this one's not so much. So we don't need Thieneman to be as much of a spy in this game. So I think he can help out, over the top with a lot of those passes and stuff. And he's such a smart, intuitive player. I mean, he's moving so quickly to the ball to one side or the other, and he seems to always make the right decision. Thieneman would be my X factor of the game on defense today. And I want to talk about a dozen different guys. You know, Barrett Alexander was so impressive to me in an interview earlier when he was talking about he was going to stick around for another year. Right. And the way the guys on the defensive line feel somewhat disrespected with all the talk of Texas Tech's best line money can buy, I think that those guys are going to have a big day today too. But my defensive X factor is Dylan Thieneman.
You know, and I'm going to go offense. My X factor on offense is going to be DeCorian Moore. Been injured the last 5 or 6 weeks. You know, he was back for the JMU game. He and Dante looked like their timing was a little off. I think that at first interception, that ball was going to DeCorian, and DeCorian cut one way, and I think Dante thought he was going the other. So I don't think that Texas Tech maybe is really taking DeCorian more into account, because he's been out for the last 6 weeks, has some rest. I think he's going to have a great big game today. I think he will be the hot route, you know, that when Bailey and Rodriguez are coming in hot. I think that that's where DeCorian's going to really flourish.
You know, I think it comes down to we've got to keep the pocket secure for Dante Moore so he can get the ball out to DeCorian.
Right.
Out to Benson, out to Brandt Jr., because
Kenyon Sadiq,
yeah,
Jamari Johnson, just keep going. So many weapons.
There's so many.
Well, and that's their Texas Tech D-line's great, linebacker core is great. Their secondary is vulnerable. They can be had.
And, you know, that's why you got to protect. But I still think that you can spread them out a little bit. I mean, if they're going to jam everything in the box to stop the run, I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show. Sadiq, Johnson, they're going to be open out in the flats. You got to get the ball to them because no one's going to be around them because the linebackers, they're there to stop the run, period.
Right.
And but they do have a really good running back on offense of Cameron Dickey. This guy's already run for over 1,000 yards, really slippery. So I think we need to stop the run. Ducks defense, you got to stop the run. You got to stack the box, and you got to let Morton beat you in the air. And I don't know if he can. If we can get pressure, stop the run, I think, you know what? Is it going to be a low-scoring ball game? I don't know. I think it's set up to be that way. I think it's set up a lot to be like a Penn State or an Iowa game, even a Wisconsin game, even those they were played in the rain. I really think because the Hard Rock Stadium is natural grass. And I think that's going to really, I think that's going to slow the Ducks down a little bit. I don't think it's going to be as fast of a game as it typically is. I don't know if the Red Raiders play on an artificial turf. I think that they probably do because it's super dry there and they don't want to water the dang thing.
Right.
Who would want to do that? But apparently they want to down in Hurricane Alley in Miami. So natural turf. Hopefully it's not the turf that has just been planted like they do a lot of times in the Rose Bowl because everybody's slipping and sliding, and that's really how people get injured.
Right.
And so I wish that they would go away from that. I'd almost rather have that grass be a little bit drier, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Granted, it's not as fluffy to fall down on, but when you got 300 pounders falling on you, it doesn't matter anyway. Oh, geez. So any other factors that you guys want to mix in before we take our final break?
The only one on the receiving end, you know, I think that they'll put their best corner on Malik Benson. I think they will be spying on Sadiq all the time. I think this is the perfect time to unleash Jamari Johnson, 6'7". We were talking about his size and stuff. He can just slip out there. They'll be focused on those other guys. We've got a lot of weapons. I'd love to see him, you know, catch and be that X factor.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do a little down and out. You know, just get that guy the ball on the sideline because that seems to be, you know, the other guys that are going to be guarding him, they're going to be a heck of a lot smaller. I mean, are you kidding me? The guy's gigantic.
I mean, a linebacker on him? Come on.
Give me a break. All right, good. Well, I love it. I love our X factors. Jerry, Jorgie, Joey, I hope you're listening. All right, we're getting out to our final break. Tailgater Show. Orange Bowl, Ducks taking on the Red Raiders. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Once again, here's Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
And welcome back to the Tailgater Show, New Year's morning. 2026. Unbelievable.
Happy New Year.
Hey, if you don't have any food today, I hear a boom in the background.
Domino's Pizza?
That's right.
Domino's Pizza.
We just had a balloon pop in the studio. Guy, you can order online and get 20% off right now. Go pick it up whenever you want. Choose your time. It's all good. Carry out three topping pizzas, $7.99 in most locations. And appreciate their sponsorship.
Click the button and boom. I love that commercial.
Oh, gosh. All right. Speaking of that, Tim Hammer, the proud, was he a franchise owner? 24, no, he's got 34-24 Ducks. I think that's that's a pretty good score right there. I mean, he blows the crap out of the line that Vegas put down, but what is it, 2.5 points still?
I don't hate it. I think, you know, I've been going back and forth. I got too much time to think about this. I thought at first we were going to just cream these guys, and now I've gotten a little bit metered. But, you know, Tiffany, the president of the undisclosed locations, got it 31-17, so she's very bullish on the Ducks.
She is.
Barrett, 28-10. Scotty was the one that this seems more realistic to me. Scotty V says 24-21.
Oh, Bodenheimer, I don't know. 53-24.
I knew it.
Goodness.
Wow.
I have a hard time believing that that many points are going to be scored, but yay, I'd love to see it. I kept getting closer and closer and closer and narrowing this one down and just being one of those games that we're resilient and we just fight it and chop it off at the end. I got us winning 34-31.
Wow.
All right. I'm not thinking we're going to score that many points. I got it 28-20 Ducks.
You know, I think, Brandon, you're right on the right page there. I think this, again, like I said earlier, Iowa, Penn State, Washington, I think they had a pretty good defense and the Ducks pretty much schooled them. I think the Ducks are pretty much, they're on a roll. I mean, they're throwing the ball where they need to be. They've dissected Texas Tech. I think they know what's coming. They've played Indiana. Texas Tech hasn't played anybody close to the Ducks offense. And so they think they're going to be ready. Are they? I don't know. We're going to find out, but I still think it's going to be a fairly low scoring game. I got 27-23. It's kind of an odd. I think there's going to be some field goals for Texas Tech in there along with the Ducks. And because I think the D's are going to show up. I think both teams are really pretty solid on both sides of the ball. Good defense, Texas Tech, great offense from Oregon and vice versa on the other sides of the ball. So that's where it stands. That's what I like. Any closing comments, gentlemen?
As long as we don't see a replay of last year's Rose Bowl, I just want a competitive game. I think Oregon comes out on top if they can keep it competitive close.
Cut out the self-inflicted wounds. I want a clean game. That's all I want. A clean game. Let the better team win.
Make it so, number one.
Wow, that is a reference that a lot of listeners probably don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. Okay, Tailgater Show. We're going to give it up to Jerry, Jorgie, and Joey. Enjoy the ball game, everybody, and go Ducks!
This has been the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.